Wayne, welcome to Radio Times. The Florida GOP presidential primary is one day away. While Newt Gingrich clobbered Mitt Romney in South Carolina last week, Romney appears to have taken a commanding lead in the Sunshine State. He had two strong debate performances last week and has dramatically outspent Gingrich on ads. Romney's also been helped by the support of Republicans such as Chris Christie, who called Gingrich an embarrassment, and Bob Dole, who said a Gingrich nomination would result in an Obama landslide. Sarah Palin weighed in, saying that the ridiculous opposition dump on Newt was nothing short of the Stalinesque rewriting of history. So today on Radio Times, what is going on inside the GOP? And we asked Mickey Edwards to join us. He's a former Republican congressman, served Oklahoma's 5th congressional district for 16 years, from 1977 to 1993, wrote a book a couple of years ago called Reclaiming Conservatism. And Mickey Edwards, nice to have you back with us on Radio Times.
Oh, thanks, Marty. But I'm really glad to be back.
Well, we're happy to have you back. And what is going on inside the GOP?
Well, you know, I think the fact is that there are so many people who are angry about what they see happening in government with, the loss of jobs, with the economy and the situation that it's in, that people are kind of losing sight of what this election is about. I read the stories about what's happening in Florida, where voters are saying, we want somebody to give Obama a bloody nose. We want somebody to stand up and fight against Obama, you know, as though this election were not about who's going to be president of the United States for the next 4 years. And so they find themselves rallying behind this happening in South Carolina. We see a lot of it in Florida, rallying behind somebody who can just be the most pugnacious, the one who can be the most combative, as opposed to looking and saying, who has the judgment, the temperament to be able to keep the country safe, to be able to work in the best interest of the country to bring people together. So, I don't know what's happening, but it's not pretty.
Are you surprised that Newt Gingrich has been able to tap into some of that anger and frustration that many people feel?
You know, Marty, I'm not, because this is what Newt does. It's what he's always done. If you remember many years ago when he was in Congress and he was also the head of GOPAC, what he would do is send out tapes to people all over the country, Republican candidates and potential Republican candidates, teaching them how to use nastiness and accusatory words and language of the worst kind to demonize people on the other side. I mean, this is what he's done, you know, his whole career, is to find a way to tap into anger and ride it to, you know, some success, to be elected to Congress and then to be elected Speaker. And now, you know, he hopes to be able to win the Republican nomination, and he does it all in the same way. His style has never changed.
Well, and it is interesting to look at from the outside, frankly, looking into the Republican Party, and you have people, frankly, like yourself, Chris Christie, Bob Dole, who have been very critical of Newt Gingrich. Gingrich obviously has his supporters, Sarah Palin being one. He got Herman Cain's endorsement over the weekend. Is there a fight going on inside the GOP for the GOP?
Well, I think there is, absolutely. The fight is that there's a wing of the party, and it has been certainly very obvious during the rise of the Tea Party, a group of people who really want, and Newt uses this language, radical, fundamental change, as opposed to those, and Bob Dole and Chris Christie are good examples of this, who believe that the purpose of a political party when you get power is to govern the country. You know, that it's about coming together with people on the other side, finding a way to address the common problems. And the problems are not all right left. I mean, you know, the fact that we have, you know, infrastructure, bridges and roads, you know, crumbling, the fact that we need to maintain a strong military. I mean, those are not Republican or Democratic issues. They're governing issues. And so I would call it, you know, people are painting this as an establishment wing against a rebellious wing or whatever. Mm-hmm. It isn't. It's between a governing wing of the party, a wing that wants to be serious participants in helping govern the greatest country on earth and those who just want to make a political statement.
But, and something you've been writing a lot about this, so not just in the last couple of weeks like some people, but for some time now, and you really say the problems in our political system are not about divisions. I mean, we've always had divisions, but it's about partisanship. Can you expand on that?
Well, the difference between polarization and partisanship is that in polarization, you might look, for example, at the Congress, and you might say that there would be a lot of people who are on one side of an issue and a lot of people on the other side, and they would not be straight down the line party versus party. You would have some Democrats siding with some Republicans on both sides of the issue. But now we've gotten to the point where the parties march pretty much in lockstep because their goal is to win the next election. That's what they're focused on. So that Nancy Pelosi, Speaker of the House at one time, when she was Speaker of the House, head of the most powerful branch of government, was asked what her goal was. She said her goal was, you know, to elect more Democrats. And when Mitch McConnell, head of the Republicans in the Senate, was asked what his goal was to make Obama a one-term president, as opposed to governing the country and dealing with the problems the country faces. And so that's what's happened. And you see whether it's a Supreme Court nomination or almost any kind of major legislation, including approval of nominations for the court or for other federal offices, it's all Democrats on one side and all Republicans on the other side. So having divisions of different points of view about issues, that's what democracy is all about. But when you have two parties marching in lockstep against each other, you can't compromise, you can't cooperate, and nothing gets done.
Do you think Newt Gingrich is bad for your party? Hurts your party?
Oh. Well, I think Newt Gingrich is bad for the party. I just saw a poll this morning in the USA Today, and I saw the headline, so I didn't see who actually conducted the poll. But it showed that even though Romney and Obama currently are running neck and neck in a lot of the major states, that Obama was just wiping out Gingrich by a big margin. So, yes, it would be bad for the party. I'm more focused, though, Marty, on the fact that a Gingrich presidency would be very bad for America. And that's what's frustrating me, is that I can't seem to find a way to persuade voters in the primaries, you know, to focus on not November, but the future of the country and sitting down and dealing with the Germans and the French and the Russians and dealing with energy independence and dealing with the important issues that confront every one of us every day.
But is that because in primaries the people who vote are essentially the base, whether it's the base of the Republican Party or the base of the Democratic Party, and when it comes to the GOP, the base tends to be more conservative?
It actually works in both parties. The base of the Republican Party that votes in the primaries is much more conservative than Republicans generally, and the same thing is true in the Democratic Party, where those who vote in primaries, like the ones who voted for Ned Lamont over Joe Lieberman, tend to be much more liberal than other Democrats. I've got a book, promote a book that's not out yet. It's coming out this summer. And our working title is The Parties Versus the People. I think one of the things that's happened is the political primary system skews the results and gives us in the general election a choice between two candidates who aren't really appealing, to the electorate at large. And the best example I use, I go back to the election last time, where in Delaware, only 30,000 people voted for Christine O'Donnell, and yet that was enough to keep Mike Castle off the ballot in the general election. So we've set up a system where the parties control who you can vote for, who your choices are in the November election. They control redistricting, they control in Congress, they control who gets to sit on what committees and what commitments they have to make to the party leadership in order to get on that committee. We've allowed this partisanship, the party control of the system, to really get out of hand, and I think we're seeing it right now.
Let me quote something that you said, and it is, frankly, again, from the outside to hear all this criticism of Newt Gingrich. And you said, Mickey Edwards, I've known Newt now for 30 years almost, but I wouldn't be able to describe what his real principles are. I never felt that he had any sort of real compass about what he believed except the pursuit of power.
Yeah, I think that's right. What I think is very funny is that he's appealing to voters in Florida, as he did in South Carolina, as the true conservative. But, you know, he's not a conservative. I mean, he's not a liberal either. I mean, Newt is about Newt. And one of the things that's amazing is that he seems to have perfected the ability to say something. He'll say anything. And he says it in an air of conviction. It's kind of like Humpty Dumpty in Through the Looking Glass that says, you know, words me, I can't quote it exactly, but when I use a word, I mean it to mean exactly what I mean it to mean, and nothing more or less. And for example, he talks a lot about his role with Reagan. Well, I ran all of the policy task forces in the Reagan campaign in 1980. You know, Newt was nowhere to be found. Nobody knew who Newt was, but he takes credit for that, for Jack Kemp's work, for other things, and he does it, and he articulates this, he claims it, and, you know, until just recently, nobody stood up and said, you're making all that stuff up.
Does that mean you support Mitt Romney?
Well, certainly between Mitt and Newt, I would say it's hard for me to think of anybody I would not support over Newt Gingrich. Mm. I think, you know, it now is between Romney and Gingrich, and I think, you know, between them, Romney's by far better, not only for the party, but also for the country. I was one of those people who was hoping that Mitch Daniels would get in the race, but, you know, that didn't happen.
No, it didn't. Why do you, and we have about a minute before our first break here, Mickey Edwards. Why do you think Jeb Bush has been silent on the sidelines?
I have no idea. Unless he's, I don't know whether Jeb wants to run for the Senate at some point. I don't know whether this is a calculation about not getting embroiled in something that could hurt him politically in Florida. I have no idea. But, you know, his dad has been pretty outspoken. Mm-hmm. And I know that Jeb doesn't like Newt, has a very low opinion of Newt. Why he's keeping quiet, I don't understand.
But do you think if he were outspoken, I'm not sure, you know, what he would say, but if he did express himself, would that be a powerful thing for him to do?
I think it would, absolutely. There are a lot of unpopular politicians in the country, but Jeb's not one of them. I mean, you know, I think people in Florida respect his opinions a lot, and I think it would make a difference.
Well, let's take that short break, and we're talking with Mickey Edwards in this portion of Radio Times today. We're interested in hearing from the Republicans in our audience. Have you made your choice for president to challenge the current president, Obama? Give us a call at 1-888-477-9499. That's 1-888-477-WHYY. We asked Mickey Edwards to join us. We have done that from time to time over the last couple of years. Former Republican congressman, author of a book called Reclaiming Conservatism, a lecturer at Princeton University's Woodrow Wilson School of Public and International Affairs, also vice president of the Aspen Institute. Stay with us. Call us. We'll be right back.
Widener supports WHYY. At Widener University, graduate courses are taught with real-life leadership experiences in a stimulating educational environment. In addition to their academic programs, Widener is committed to delivering the means for professional advancement and personal growth students seek in a graduate program, while accommodating work schedules through a variety of graduate degrees, including nursing, education, higher education, and more. Widener University. Widener leadership works.
I'm Marty Moscowane. This is the winter membership campaign here at WHYY. We remind you several times a year that if you listen to WHYY, take that next step and become a supporter. We have an ambitious goal, 8,000 pledges, and we can make that goal if you make that call at 1-888-345-9499, or you can pledge online at WHYY.org. Think of what you get on programs like Radio Times, in-depth interviews about local, national, and international news, issues, and and events that matter to you. We also introduce you to interesting people and ideas. We believe that you're the kind of person who is curious about the world we live in. We also know it takes a lot of work to keep up on everything. So we do your homework for you. We track down guests, invite your phone calls to create a lively and informative conversation. You don't hear that on the radio every day. Make a call right now at 1-888-345-9499 or pledge online at whyy.org. Thanks so much. This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moss-Cohen. We're talking about some of the divisions and disagreements within the Republican Party that have been on display as candidates make their pitch to be the nominee for president. And we're talking with Mickey Edwards about all of this, and we're taking calls at 1-888-477-9499. That's 1-888-477-WHYY. Particularly interested in hearing from the Republicans in our audience and what you make of the race for the White House and if there's a candidate that has caught your eye. Mickey Edwards, let me go back to you. I think there have been something like 19 Republican debates. There were two last week right before the South Carolina vote. Has that been good for the process?
Well, I don't think it's been good for the process, but I haven't seen any debates yet, actually. What I have seen is a lineup of people with reporters asking them questions and actually doing a pretty poor job of it. Wolf Blitzer and John King in particular, pose a question and they're going to ask the question to all the candidates, but then somebody says something and they say that changes the direction of what they're going to ask. It might be good if we had debates and if those were debates that, over a period of an election season, you had three or four debates. You had one on foreign policy, you had one on domestic policy and so forth. But 19 debates or whatever it is absurd, the way they're being done. The last debate that I saw in Florida, with the choir and all that, it was kind of like American Idol. I've got to blame, people in television a lot for really screwing up the process.
Newt Gingrich talks about when he becomes the nominee, chasing President Obama around the country and challenging him to Lincoln-Douglas-style debates. And that sounds like Newt Gingrich, but it would be interesting to see debates where the candidates, in a sense, went head-to-head without someone playing, traffic cop in between them.
It would be absolutely very enlightening and with time to answer. The president's not going to do that, and if he did, he would eat Newt's lunch, because Newt is more of a blowhard. But the fact is that what we have now doesn't really serve for debate. So what it is just seeing whether somebody's going to screw up. So Rick Perry forgetting the third of the three agencies or departments he wanted to close down, or something like that is a slip, a goof, and that takes out, way outsized importance, as opposed to a serious conversation about the issues facing the country, so that you can judge the temperament of the person, so that you can judge, their knowledge. And, so what you have now is people making all these pledges, right? I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that.
Right.
Well, we're going to elect a president, we're not going to elect a king. That all of these candidates are making promises of things that it's not going to be in their power to do. But that's what this format lends itself to.
And what do you think of the role, the use of the audience in these debate formats? And we'll get to our callers.
Well, it again injects somebody. I think it was Romney said this about Gingrich, but I'm not sure that's not true of both of them. It's in whatever state you're in. You get a question about, for example, in Florida, about the Space Coast, in South Carolina, about the dredging of the harbor, and what it becomes very parochial. But, we're not electing the mayor of Charleston. We're not electing, somebody to be in charge of programs to create jobs in Florida. We're electing, a president of the United States. And when you bring the audience in, a lot of the questions have tended to be very parochial.
Let me get some callers in. And again, talking with Mickey Edwards, former Republican congressman, about the GOP, the race for the White House, the primaries, the debates, the ads. We'll hopefully get to that as well. And we're taking calls at 1-888-477-9499. Again, particularly interested in hearing from the Republicans in our audience. Let's see what Dan from Fairmont has to say. And Dan, go ahead. You're on Radio Times.
Yeah, hi, Marty. Hi, Mr. Edwards. It's good to listen to your show today.
Thanks.
I just tuned in. I'm supporting Ron Paul as the candidate, but my question is really about why do we legitimize people like Newt Gingrich? I mean, I totally agree with everything that Mr. Edwards is saying on the show, but why do we even legitimize Newt Gingrich? I mean, Marty mentioned earlier that people like Sarah Palin and Herman Cain are supporting Gingrich, but in my mind, these people aren't really serious candidates. So how can we even legitimize this guy? I mean, if you listen to Gingrich's rhetoric and the way he's acted through throughout his time in Congress, I mean, he's a farce in my opinion.
Well, Dan, let me see what Mickey Edwards has to say, and thanks for calling into Radio Times. Mickey, your thoughts?
Well, you know, I wish that I could agree with him because he agreed with me, but I think the problem is I agree with his characterization of Newt, but I don't agree that Newt is not a serious candidate because of the way the electorate is acting. He doesn't deserve to be a serious candidate, but if you have a lot of angry people who just want to yell and scream at Barack Obama, then what's going to happen is that somebody like Newt Gingrich can fill up a stadium or fill up, he did a hangar with a couple of thousand people the other day, and he becomes serious. Look, here's something, and I think perhaps the person who's supporting Ron Paul will appreciate this. Many years ago, Sinclair Lewis wrote a book called It Can't Happen Here, and it was about a demagogue who rises to become president. The theme of It Can't Happen Here was that, oh, yes, it can, beware. So I think it's a mistake to take Newt too lightly because of what I see in the electorate right now and what they seem to be looking for.
But what's interesting, and whenever we talk about presidential politics, we get callers from people who are Ron Paul supporters. I'm not surprised by that at all. You can hear the kind of support he gets at these debates. And whether you agree with him or not, he has been at least relatively consistent compared to the two front runners, Newt Gingrich and Mitt Romney.
Well, he has. One of the things that's very interesting is, and I'm not saying that Ron is going to have a chance to win either, but the media has, again, the television stations have played a certain role here in trying to determine in advance, who was going to get time, who was going to be paid attention to, and it's been very interesting that sometimes the moderators seem a little perplexed when you get this great audience response cheering for what Ron Paul says.
Exactly.
There's this artificial attempt to use the debate process as though what we were doing again was American Idol or something like that, and it's a great disservice.
Let me get looks like Bailey from Pennington to join our conversation. And Bailey, go ahead, you're on Radio Times.
Hi, Marty. Thanks so much for taking my call.
You're very welcome.
And Mr. Edwards, it's a pleasure to speak with you. I have to confess, I am not a Republican, but a Democrat. But I appreciate very much your quixotic kind of quest to put the intelligence back into this very important enterprise of electing a president, which, these days I liken much more to electing the eighth grade class president with all this silly talk about, how much fun he'd be to have a beer with, like he's ever going to have a beer with you. And, getting back to qualifications for the job, and there's a guy I saw on Bill Maher the other night who apparently can't seem to break into the mainstream Republican debates, but who seemed to me to be A, extremely intelligent, B, very genuine, and C, very personable and experienced. D, Buddy Romer, the former governor of Louisiana. What's the story with him, and why are these guys so afraid of him?
It's a good question.
He's been running for a year, I understand.
Indeed, and has been working with Stephen Colbert. Just to add to your question there, Bailey, Mickey Edwards, how do you see Buddy Romer? And he's been, in a sense, not allowed to participate in these debates.
Yeah, it's kind of an interesting story because I was in New Hampshire recently, just before their debate. I was speaking at St. Anselm's College, and Buddy was there. And two of the people who were being ignored were there. One was Buddy, and he gave a talk and got a great response. I mean, he's a guy who had been a member of Congress and a governor, and it's sort of hard to explain why he has not even been allowed to participate. So it's circular, right? I mean, he doesn't get any support. His poll numbers are zero, but that's because he doesn't get visibility. Would Buddy have some support if he had visibility? Maybe. But again, it's a predetermination of who should be taken seriously. And that should be up to the American people to decide.
And I've always thought that if not third-party candidates, candidates who haven't been anointed by the party, while they might not win, they often bring interesting ideas to political discussions that you might not hear under different circumstances.
Well, I mean, I think that's clear with well, you go back to Ross Perot, you go back to a number of candidates who have put things on the table that were not part of the discussion before. One of the things that was been interesting about Ron Paul, and I don't think he is a serious candidate at all, but he has put forth, for example, questions about the way the Fed operates. I've never thought about the Fed. I don't know people who thought about the Fed. You know, and in the last Congress, you actually had quite a lot of support, including bipartisan support, for auditing the Fed. Well, I mean, this is something where, you know, a candidate, by being given an opportunity to be heard, is able to put an issue on the table that perhaps deserve some attention.
Bailey, thanks for the call. Let's go down to Cape May. We have Susan waiting to join our conversation. And Susan, go ahead. You're on Radio Times.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, Marty.
You're welcome.
And it's a pleasure to meet you and your guests.
Thanks.
I'm a Republican, but I think I'm going to vote again. I'm going to vote for President Obama because I miss the old Republicans. I miss Lincoln Chafee. I miss the old John McCain. I miss the mainstream, the middle of the road Republicans. I'm a Rhino, and proud of it. And I don't see a place for me. And I'm so tired of hearing everybody saying this is a failed president, because I don't see what President Obama's done as a failed president. And they don't seem to offer any good ideas. I'm waiting for somebody to get off the failed presidency kick and say, okay, maybe this is what we should do, and maybe this is what Obama should have done, and he didn't do. So I wish they would come forth with some ideas and stop the rhetoric.
Susan, thanks for calling into Radio Times. Mickey Edwards, a woman after your own heart?
Well, yes, because she made the point that what I want to see, whenever you go through an election process like this, I want to see the opportunity to evaluate people in terms of what kind of a president that man or woman would be. And what you need in the presidency, it's interesting. Most of the power in our government is in the Congress, but the president as a singular person does have a tremendous amount of power, including control over the nuclear weapons. And so I would like to be able to see who has the temperament, who is thoughtful, who is reflective. You know, being president is not having debates. Being president is not showing that you can be bombastic. That's the last thing you want in a president of the United States. And we have a system that doesn't allow us to make that kind of an evaluation.
Susan, thanks for the call. Let's go to Lansdowne. Ben, waiting to join our conversation. Ben, go ahead. You're on Radio Times.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks for my call.
Sure.
I'm actually a young Republican. I usually swing a little more moderate. And since the beginning of this campaign, I have been supporting Mitt Romney. I've seen him as the most solid and consistent. Well, I shouldn't say consistent. He does have some flip-flops here and there. But to me, he has seemed like the person who is best fit for the job, based on his business experience, based on his history of values. And to me, even though it is interesting seeing how the press has swung more positive of his Mormonism, I'm curious how much of that is still at play in, like, the South Carolina debate or in the South Carolina primary, in determining why people are going to these other candidates who are obviously less qualified or have a weaker track record, such as Newt Gingrich. So, in your opinion, how much do you think that still has a play, even though it's not being spoken of?
I'm Mickey Edwards.
Well, you know, I think in some states it does have a play. I think that one of the very interesting facts that came out after the vote in South Carolina was the percentage of voters in South Carolina who are evangelicals. And, you know, there are a lot of evangelicals who are very tolerant and very open-minded. But there are also a subset who really don't want to vote for somebody who doesn't share their religious beliefs, even though, you know, our Constitution is pretty clear that there should be no religious test. But I do think that Romney's religion has probably been harmful to him in some of the states and in some of the at least parts of the states, as in South Carolina. I think that probably did hurt him.
And as a former member of the U.S. Congress, Mickey Edwards, I'm not sure where the popularity stands specifically today, but we know that Congress as a whole is held in unbelievably low regard. Deserved? Undeserved?
Oh, totally deserved. You know, it was, I've actually seen quotes, and I can't remember now who said it, but When I was in Congress, and I was pretty conservative Republican, but we thought that once we had taken the oath of office, that oath meant something, and our job was to help govern the United States. And when we tried to find areas, we stood up pretty firmly for what we believed, but eventually you had to find a way to sit down with people on the other side and find a way to cooperate so that you could move forward, so that you could fund a defense bill where usually it was the Democrats who had to do the compromising, but you know, both sides did, or any other kind of an issue. You tried to find a way to work together because we are one country. We're just one country. That's lost now. The Congress is nonstop partisan warfare. You know, it's not about Americans coming together to solve problems. It's about Republicans versus Democrats calling each other names. And I don't blame the American people for being disgusted with it. You know, I am too.
Well, and it sounds like your next book deals with this. We have about a minute before we have to say goodbye. But are you in any way hopeful that we can get back to a form of government that actually does try to work together to solve problems?
You know, Marty, I actually am. And I take my optimism, if it's that, from a strange place, California.
Really?
Washington State in 06 and then California in 10. Voted, the people took charge, not the legislators, not the officials. The people took charge, and they passed an initiative that did away with closed party primaries, which give the most extreme parts of a party, you know, great power. They did away with partisan redistricting. You know, they created independent nonpartisan redistricting commission and open primaries. That's the wave of the future. That's what has to be done. If we move in that direction, we can take away the ability of the 30,000 people in Delaware out of an entire state of a million people, you know, who were able to, you know, nominate Christine O'Donnell instead of Mike Castle with the same thing in Utah. We can change the system.
Well, on that note, Mickey Edwards, always a pleasure. Thanks for joining us once again.
Thank
today
you,
at Radio Times, a former Republican congressman from Oklahoma. We have Mark McKinnon waiting in the wings. We'll be talking about Americans Elect. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
WHYY is proudly supported by the Philadelphia Museum of Art, presenting Van Gogh Up Close, paintings from Vincent Van Gogh's final years when the artist experimented with new ways of capturing nature on canvas. Philadelphia Museum of Art is the only U.S. venue for this exhibition, which opens on February 1st. Tickets and information for Van Gogh Up Close are available now online at philomuseum.org or 215-235-SHOW.
Rowan University's Rohrer College of Business supports WHYY. The Rohrer College of Business is one of five business schools in the nation to hold the prestigious AACSB accreditation for business and ABET accreditation for its Management Information Systems program. Rohrer's next MBA information session will be held at 6 p.m. on February 1st in Mays Landing, New Jersey. 856-256-4024 or rowan.edu/MBA. Rowan University's Rohrer College of Business. Experience personal learning. Experience your future.
I'm Marty Moscowane. It's the winter membership campaign. We're thrilled that you listen to WHYY. Now take that next step and become a supporter. 2012 is going to be a busy year politically speaking, and Radio Times and WHYY will keep you up to speed on the local and national races and informed about the issues. That's what we do. What you need to do is make a pledge of support right now by calling 1-888-345-9499 or pledge online at WHYY.org. This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moscowane. As you know, there's a great deal of dissatisfaction with the political system and calls in some quarters for a third-party candidate. An organization that shares that frustration is Americans Elect. In fact, if you go to their website, it begins with these words, pick a president, not a party. We asked Mark McKinnon to join us once again to talk about Americans Elect. He's a former chief media advisor to George W. Bush, global vice chairman of Hill & Knowlton, a co-founder of No Labels, a supporter of Americans Elect, and a columnist for The Daily Beast. And Mark McKinnon, nice to have you back with us on Radio Times.
Hey, Marty. Thanks for having me.
You're very welcome. Why do you support Americans Elect?
Well, you know, like a lot of Americans, I'm frustrated, and I've been working in politics for 30 years. I've worked for 15 years as a Democrat on the Democratic side and 15 years on the Republican side. And, you know, I got involved, like many other people do in politics, because, you know, I wanted to try and create some positive change. And we've just reached a point in our country where we just have complete paralysis driven by hyper-partisan interests. And I think that, like most Americans, I'm appalled at what I see happening in Washington. But I, like Mickey Edwards, I just refuse to give up, and I want to continue to kick the shins of the system. Increasingly, it seems to me that we need a new solution, and this is a democracy. And the one thing that seems ironic to me, and a lot of other people, I think, is that in a democracy, so often we're just faced with the lesser of a couple of evils, and you know we are faced with just a couple of choices. And it's always struck me as odd that we don't have a system where we don't have more choices, and we don't have a system that attracts more people and more voices to the system. So,
let me jump in here because
sure.
So what kind of candidate are you and others either affiliated with Americans or Elect or frustrated with the choice that Americans have? What kind of qualifications are you looking for?
Well, I don't think the qualifications are nearly as important as just as redefining the process. What we're doing is we have a system, and the system's the problem. We have a system where at a time when we have some of our greatest political challenges ever, and a time when arguably we need the best and brightest leadership that we have out there, they're not coming forward. And who could blame them, given the system that we have? What we're trying to do is say, you know, if we could reimagine democracy, how would we do it? Well, we would create a process where people didn't have to go through these ridiculous primaries. And we would use the technology that we have to make it easy for people to participate, and we'd make it completely a system where everybody could participate and nominate whoever they wanted to. So I think the interesting thing about this idea, I think what a lot of people in America want is for our parties to work together. And one of the main features of the Americans Elect idea is that it will be a unity ticket. That there has to be both a Republican and a Democrat, or an Independent and a Democrat, or Independent and Republican, because we've seen that we have a zero-sum game going on in Washington right now, where Republicans care more about winning, Democrats care more about winning, and nobody cares about moving the country forward or working together, and clearly working together what's required in order to achieve some consensus, some compromise on some of these big issues. So that's one of the main things about this idea. The prohibition to any alternative has been ballot access. The Democratic and Republican parties have a stranglehold on the process, and the way that they do that is they create laws and make it very expensive and difficult for anybody else to get on the ballot. So Americans Elect, I think very smartly, said, "We'll go out. We'll fix the problem of ballot access and basically eliminate that problem so that anybody can run. They don't have a candidate, and that's what's going to be really interesting. So anybody can get on the internet, go to AmericansElect.org. That makes you a delegate if you want to be, and you can nominate anybody.
Hmm.
Now, I think that the attractive candidates will be those who come forward and say, you know, we need to work together. We need to adopt ideas like the Simpson-Bowles Commission, which I think most Americans think makes a lot of sense, where you recognize that there have to be both additional revenues and cuts, not just one or the other, which both the parties have been saying. But it's those kind of things that I think are common sense. And I think that it's a very good chance that whoever this ticket, whatever ticket is nominated, will at the very least get 15% support before the debates, which means they'll qualify for the debates and be in the fall debates and have a significant impact on the process. But at the very least, I think we'll look back maybe this November, 4 years, 8 years from now, and say that this was the beginning of a change in the way that we actually elect our president.
And it sounds like you see the parties as really an impediment to the process. And of course, parties are associated with so much money is in the system. Do you see those as the two biggest problems that we face in our electoral system, money and the parties?
I do, personally. I mean, money, I think, is a big issue. I think it has a stranglehold on the process. We look at what's happening right now in the race with these super PACs that allow for unlimited money, often with undisclosed donors, so that the race doesn't become a race between candidates. It becomes a race between special interests. And I think that Americans are appalled by that. I mean, it's just become pornographic in terms of the kind of money that's being spent, sort of unregulated money. And I think that's a potentially powerful message for whoever the Americans Elect candidate would be. One of the people who's declared that he's going to run under that system is Buddy Romer, former governor of Louisiana, who has very strong feelings about campaign finance and money and politics. And he'll be running on that. I think he'll be running on that ticket.
And one of the arguments, rightly or wrongly, about third parties is that it can rob votes from the mainstream candidate and give the person that you don't want to win the chance to win. And it's a convoluted argument. But is there a response to that?
Well, my response is, anybody that thinks that more democracy is bad should move somewhere else. I mean,
fair enough.
What we want is more choices and more voices, more people participating, and consequences be damned. One thing I can tell you is that the system right now is broken and it's not working, and I'm for anything that disrupts it.
And that's Mark McKinnon, our guest today on Radio Times, the second in, of two guests in this hour of Radio Times. In fact, a former chief media advisor to George W. Bush. He's currently global vice chairman of Hill & Knowlton, a co-founder of No Labels, a supporter of Americans Elect, which is one of the reasons that we called him up. He also writes columns for The Daily Beast, and we're talking about whether the time is right for a third-party candidate, whether it's possible to get around the party system and go directly to electing candidates to run for president. And we're curious about whether this appeals to you. And the lines are open at 1-888-477-9499. That's 1-888-477-WHYY. Do you like the way our current system of picking candidates works or not? Give us a call, 1-888-477-9499. I'm Marty Moscoen, and you're listening to Radio Times.
Another great conversation on Radio Times that you're listening to here on WHYY. Hello, my name is Mike and Scott. With me here is Dave Davies, one of my colleagues from the WHYY newsroom, who, of course, you always hear, often hear on Fresh Air as well. And Dave, this is really a great conversation. We've had a lot of wonderful programs that relate to the election season. You do a lot of election coverage as well.
Right, and I think it's... Is my mic on? Can we hear
here
me?
Here we go.
Right? Good,
yes.
Good, yeah. Anybody who is tuned in knows that you can go any hour of the day to cable TV and listen to a shout fest. And you're here because you want something different. And what Marty does day in, day out, is to bring you a unique perspective. Mickey Edwards, a guy who served in Congress in the, from the 70s through the 90s, and says, we need to think about this differently. We need to think not about who's ahead in the polls, who has this attack, who took that shot in the debate, but how can we govern? And then Mark McKinnon bringing a whole different perspective. If you value that, if you think that's worth sustaining, this is that time of year when we all come together and ask you to join us in doing a bit of business. And the phone number to do that is, Mikan?
1-888-345-9499 is where people are calling in to become members of WHYY right now. We have wonderful volunteers sitting there from the Mainline School, Night School, and they are here to answer your calls. You can also pledge online at WHYY.org. And Dave, you were just saying, you know, what you get when you tune into other media outlets. And a lot of times it's kind of the who did what coverage of the election, like who is the bad guy today because he did X, or what did we uncover about candidate Y, and who paid less taxes, who paid more taxes, who is a hypocrite today.
And everybody's constantly interrupting each other the way I'm interrupting you now.
That's right.
Which makes it hard to follow.
But I'm not shouting at you, calling you names. That's the difference. We're actually sitting here. And what I always love about Marty's show and Radio Times and so many of the other programs that I hear on WHYY is that there's conversation. People are still talking to each other. That's also visible on our website, newsworks.org, where a lot of times people are talking to each other online. They are not screaming at each other. They are not calling each other names. It is a conversation, and I think that's what's needed. So you make that possible when you call 1-888-345-9499. Again, that number is 1-888-345-9499.
Right, and I think we don't need to convince you that this service is unique and valuable. That's why you're here. What we do need to do is to nudge you to take that extra step of supporting it. And you know, Mike, and I've often found many people I know are regular listeners to public radio and think of themselves as real supporters. But when you get right down to it, they have given to the station, but not in a while. It's kind of like you think, well, that roof on my house is new, and then you start adding up the, well, actually, it's more like 7-8 years ago. So, you know, if Clinton was president the last time you renewed your membership, it's time to rethink this.
Uh-huh.
It's so easy to think you're there all the time when you really aren't. Well, you know, we have to pay Marty and her staff every month, every 2 weeks to sustain this program. It takes energy and effort to find the guests that she does. And Marty is a blur running around this station, always busy, always preparing for the next day's show. It's the kind of commitment and effort that is really worth supporting, isn't it? And it's so easy to do. You make that call, or you go online at WHYY.org, and you make a pledge, and you will feel great when you do it.
1-888-345-9499. Just throwing that number out there for you to call. 1-888-345-9499 or online at WHYY.org. Dave, we have a whole lot of thank you gifts that people can get if they want something with the WHYY logo on it. For example, another idea, if you're making a pledge over $50 on a credit card, you can get a year-long subscription to Newsweek. That's a nice thing to have. So think about different levels where you feel comfortable giving to WHYY, but check your member card. Make sure that you're up to date. You know, it's so important for people to do this. We've seen a lot of struggle around us in the media world. We've seen newspapers struggle. We have seen publications struggle. And when they do, everybody gets worried and people say, oh my goodness, we don't want the papers to go away. We don't want this to go away. Well, public radio, we're here, but we're here because of you. So we have to remind you every once in a while that we have that relationship and we're here because of you. And most of you know that a lot of our government support that wasn't ever that much to begin with, but a lot of that, Dave, has actually gone away, especially on the state level. That support has gone away. So as a station, thankfully, we have always relied on our members, but we need to continue to have that relationship with you in order to make this equation work.
Right. An interesting thing, Mike, and I think, is that people who listen to Radio Times in the morning are a special community. I mean, not everybody can do it. Some people are at work, but those who are in a position to, either they because they may be working at home, or they may have an office with the kind of work that is conducive to it, or they end up traveling during that stretch. I think there's a community there who have come over the years to appreciate what's really valuable about what Marty does every day and the breadth of stuff you hear. I mean, today we're getting a really different and unique look at this raging battle among Republican presidential candidates. But in the second hour, we're going to be hearing a completely different kind of subject. It'll be a musical commemorating the Scottsboro Boys, and I know that's going to be fascinating. If you value that, if you really think that what Marty does is unique and special, we hope you will join those friends and neighbors of yours who sustain this and jump in and help. It doesn't take a lot, but it does take all of us. And this is the first day of the biggest membership drive of the year. I mean, I don't mind telling you that those of us on the station get a little bit of butterflies when we start this, because it's a leap of faith. I mean, we contribute, we have a commitment, and we know that you believe in it, but we need to hear from you. And the way you do that is so simple. You pick up the phone and make the call, 1-888-345-9499. A friendly volunteer will speak to you. If you pledge at least $50 on a credit card, you'll get Newsweek magazine for free, and I'm telling you, that's a good deal. Or so easy, online at whyy.org.
And Dave, you and I, we meet a lot of people, and people will say to you, oh, Dave, I heard you on Fresh Air. That was a great interview. Or I heard that story you did on redistricting, or whatever. So people let us know that they listen, and that means a lot. It's really wonderful when you get a sense, wow, people actually heard that story. That always makes my day. But what is even more wonderful is to know that people believe in public radio, and they believe in our model, and they believe in it enough to be the person to make that call. Not to be the person who knows that other people are making the call because we're hearing the phone ring, but to actually pick up the phone and to say, you know what, I rely on this service. And that means I have to become part of this equation. I have to actually step up. If I can afford $40 right now, fine. That's what I'm going to do. If I can do $5 a month, great. You know, one of my friends always says she puts $5 a month on her credit card, and she says she never misses those $5 because they would be gone either way. So they just go to WHYY, and she knows that this is her relationship with us because she listens all the time. She relies on us. So that's how she does it. Whatever works for you, right now we just need to build that bridge. We need to start that relationship. If you've never given before, do it now. 1-888-345-9499. And then, Dave, the best thing is when people say, oh, I'm a member. Isn't that the greatest?
It is terrific. And I think when people say that, they know. There's no doubt about it. You know, yeah, Mike makes a great point. You know, you just you think of it the same way you think of other things in your life that you know, your newspaper subscription, your utility bills. There are things that you need and rely on every day, and they cost a little bit. And so, fair enough, you just chip in. It's sort of remarkable that we're able to fund this magnificent service by so many people voluntarily stepping up.